You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 13th of April 2020 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioalbion.com. Well, happy Easter to you all. It's Easter Monday today. It would normally be a bank holiday. I guess bank transactions aren't going ahead today, but the day itself is probably the same for most of us as it has been for the last couple of weeks. With the lockdown, once again, we've got beautiful weather and people aren't allowed to go out. And I'm afraid I'm going to have to talk about coronavirus again today because that is just about all there is in the news. But before I get into some of these news stories, I just wanted to talk a little bit about what's going on really with the nationalist movement. It seems there's two camps. There's one camp that is pointing out that all of this, all of these problems that we're now facing, this pandemic, this explosion in cases of coronavirus, it all could have been avoided simply by closing the borders. This has all been brought about by diversity, and suggesting that we concentrate on that and highlight that point to people when we're talking to them socially. And then there's the other camp that is trying to minimise the effect of this, trying to say that it's a hoax, it's just the flu, it's caused by 5G, all sorts of wacky conspiracy theories that really aren't going to help to advance the cause of nationalism, are they? They're just going to put us on the opposite side of everybody else. And I'm really surprised at a lot of people that I thought were quite intelligent people that have just accepted a lot of this conspiracy stuff without questioning it. I talked on Aryan Britannia a couple of weeks ago. I did a bit of conspiracy busting at the beginning, explaining why the hospitals would expect the hospitals to be empty. And there are other things that are going on. I mean, last week the government changed the designation, or the week before the government changed the designation of what coronavirus actually is. And people were saying, look at this. It's just wide open out there in the conspiracy. They know that it's not as dangerous as they've been telling us. Well, as we've gone on, we started off not knowing what this virus actually was. We didn't know how dangerous it was, and as we've learned more, we've discovered that it's about 0.1% fatality. So the original government designation, which said something like extremely contagious and with a high fatality rate, that no longer applied. So they changed it to something else, which was effectively saying highly contagious, but with a low fatality rate. And it's not a conspiracy there to deceive people. Another thing that's being talked about at the moment is the advice in America telling doctors that if they have a suspicion that somebody had coronavirus when they died, that they don't need to test them, they don't need to do the coroner's report, and we can just rely on the doctor's assessment. And of course, a lot of people are saying, well, this is so that they can bump up the figures. Again, this is a conspiracy. They're all trying to just collapse the economy for some bizarre reason only known to themselves. Oh, just because they want to vaccinate everybody. I mean, these ideas, they don't make a lot of sense. What does make sense is that doctors have been told to make their own assessment of whether somebody has got coronavirus or not because they don't want a backlog of bodies, number one. we aren't used to dealing with 10 times as many dead as we would normally get within a day. And if you've got weeks of that with 10 times as many dead as you would normally get in a day, then the mortuaries are going to be filled up. As we've seen, they've got freezer lorries in New York that they're having to use. They've had to repurpose refrigeration lorries in order to put the bodies in. So one way that you can actually speed up this process is to do away with coroner's reports, because it can take up to 5 days to do the coroner's report. So you end up with a big backlog. In fact, in the Coronavirus Act that they brought out in Britain, one of the specific items in it was that coroner's reports no longer needed to be done. We could just rely on the doctor making an assessment. And the reason for this was to speed up the time so that these bodies weren't hanging around for ages. I mean, it makes sense that they would do this. And the second reason why you would want to do this is so that you could warn the people that were dealing with the bodies that they had coronavirus, because the bodies are still shedding virus. People can still catch coronavirus from these dead bodies. So obviously you want to know if a body is likely to have the coronavirus so that you will wear the correct PPE. And with bodies that don't have the coronavirus, then you wouldn't need to be wearing this PPE. So there are two reasons why doctors would have been advised to do this. I don't think it's because they want to bump up the figures. In actual fact, in Britain, they are underreporting the deaths, because they are only reporting deaths in the hospitals as people having died from coronavirus. And people are saying that the numbers are actually twice as much when you include the people that have died in the nursing homes and in the care homes, where we've had, you know, when you think about it, you've got a lot of people in there that are all over 80. And if coronavirus gets in there, then it's just going to wipe them out. So the media are actually underreporting the deaths in Britain. And they're also minimizing the threat of coronavirus, because they're still not telling us that we should be wearing masks. They're saying, oh, only the doctors need to be wearing masks. Just ignore the fact that I think something like 17 bus drivers, London bus drivers, died of coronavirus. And that's obviously because they weren't wearing masks, because they were sat on a bus where people had the virus and they were spreading it. I mean, this is an airborne virus, and they're playing that down in the media. So people that are saying that this is a hoax and it's the media is playing this up and they're inflating the death figures, I think it's the other way around. I really do. And I think what we've got here, we've got a problem where people are so used to being against what the government tells us. We're so used to the government doing everything it possibly can to actually harm the indigenous people, that when the government are actually doing something right, it flips us out, and we end up saying the opposite just because we're so used to having to say the opposite. And in actual fact, you know, a broken clock will actually tell the right time once a day. And this is the situation that we've got here, that the main role for a government is national security. And this is a national security issue. We don't want the streets filled with dead bodies. I mean, if they hadn't dealt with this, it could have been a situation where it crashed everything just through the numbers of dead people that we would have had, and we would have looked like a third world country. So I think they have done the right thing, and the Labour Party are demanding that the government come out with an exit strategy, but I don't see that they can come out with an exit strategy. I mean, they're hoping that we'll get some kind of vaccine, or we'll get some kind of medication that will actually help with this. But they don't actually have that yet. They might have in a month's time. They might have in 2 months' time. And once they have, then they can start looking at an exit strategy. But to start saying, well, we need to see this exit strategy now, I mean, they could put all this work into working out what the exit strategy would be. And then in a month's time, somebody might come up with a vaccine. And they'll end up with something completely different. But one thing that I have noticed that I've been questioning is the use of the rainbow over here in Britain. Obviously, the rainbow is a symbol that the homosexuals use. It's shorthand for perversity, basically. And now it's being used by the NHS, apparently. Whenever they talk about the NHS, you see these rainbows. And doing a little bit of research, trying to find out why that is, they say children around the UK have been painting rainbows and placing them in windows to offer a message of hope during the coronavirus lockdown. In addition, the rainbows are being used as a sign of support for the NHS, who have been working tirelessly on the front line through the global pandemic. So why have they chosen the rainbow? Why have they chosen this symbol of sodomy, basically, that was hijacked from the Christians? I mean, it was a symbol of God making a promise that he would never destroy the earth again with a flood. And the fact that homosexuals are using it after flouting God's laws and engaging in sodomy, it's like they're saying, well, look, you promised you wouldn't destroy the earth again, so ha-ha, we're now going to go against your laws. So why are children being encouraged to use it? Why is the NHS using it? Very strange that they would pick that symbol to use. Perhaps one of you listeners out there might know more about it. We've also, over here in Britain, we've had an alternative journalist that's actually being pulled up by the police. And I've been questioning this. Are journalists essential? Is it essential work? Is what the BBC do essential work? Most of the BBC journalists that I've seen interviewed have been doing their reports from home. They've been doing them over Skype. Some of them I have seen out, and they have been out, and they've got these extra long boom mic stands so that they're actually 2 meters away from somebody that they're talking to. So it does seem that it's accepted that it is essential work if you're part of the mainstream media. So logically from that, you would think that the alternative media is also essential work. And we have to get the truth out of what's going on, and we have to have alternative methods of doing that and alternative points of view. That's what a democracy is. It means that you get to hear everybody's point of view, you get to hear the view from the establishment, and you get to hear the alternative point of view. It seems the police don't see it that way, though. UK police have threatened a radio show host after he reported a mosque for violating COVID-19 restrictions on public gatherings. North Yorkshire police turned up at the apartment of Tom Linden, host of UK Preppers Radio Network, after he issued a complaint to West Yorkshire police about Muslims flouting the restriction rules by gathering in mosques for Friday prayers. In the complaint, Mr. Linden informed police that as an independent journalist, he intended on monitoring and reporting on the mass gatherings. All other religious denominational places of worship are, of course, closed, and quite rightly so, in my opinion, Mr. Linden says in a statement on his website. I read two articles in two different newspapers covering Bradford, The Telegraph and The Argus, and the other covering Leeds, The Leeds Press. They both talked of mosques flouting the COVID-19 social distancing rules. This incensed me and made me feel very angry indeed, Mr. Linden added. I therefore reported these mosques to West Yorkshire Police via their online COVID-19 report form. Mr. Linden said his mistake was letting the police know of his intentions to drive around and report on open mosques and large outdoor meetings. Despite journalists being deemed key workers under COVID-19 rules, the North Yorkshire Police warned Mr. Linden that monitoring mosques would be considered unnecessary travel. I am an independent radio journalist and as such a key worker, Mr. Linden said. I therefore have the right to travel without restriction. Welcome to the police state, he added. I don't know about that, whether he would have the right to travel without restriction, just driving around looking for them. You would think that he would actually have to have some definite place that he was going to in order to record something, and obviously he'd have to be 2 meters away. What you'd have to do is look at the guidelines that the BBC have and then apply them to yourself, I would suggest. But whether the police would accept that or not, I don't know. They do seem to treat the mainstream media in a different way to the way that they treat the alternative media. And of course, it is thanks to the alternative media that we have seen these pictures of Muslims that are gathering and not observing the social distancing rules. And of course, we're seeing the results of that now when we're being told that Muslims and non-whites seem to be twice as much as their actual percentage of the population are catching this virus, something I predicted a couple of weeks back that we would be seeing. Another rather unfortunate result of the UK lockdown is that fake refugees are able to take advantage of it. We've had quite a few news stories over the last week of them invading the country and being picked up and ferried ashore by our so-called border force, which is supposed to defend the country. I mean, remember, we are an island. We should have been able to just close the borders and prevent anybody coming in with the virus, just the same as we should be able to just close the borders and prevent anybody coming in from outside of Britain. But apparently not. 4 boats carrying 72 migrants were intercepted by the border force off the coast of Kent and Sussex on Sunday. The first 2 boats were intercepted at 6:30 a.m. and were carrying 22 men and 8 women, who identified as Iraqi, Iranian and Syrian nationals. So they're all coming from the area that has one of the largest outbreaks in the world, Iran, and they've headed straight for Britain. The third boat was intercepted 3 hours later with 13 men who said they were Iraqi or Iranian. And of course, the Iraqis would have had to travel through Iran to get to Turkey to make their way over here. The fourth vessel was carrying 25 men and 4 women who also identified as Iranian or Iraqi. So these are very likely going to be plague carriers. And they've brought them onto our soil instead of turning them back. All individuals were being taken to Dover to be assessed for any medical requirements before their cases are considered. Tony Eastor, the Home Office's Director for Crime and Enforcement, said those facilitating illegal crossings were breaking the law, and the UK would seek to return anyone with no right to be in the country. The Home Office said those attempting to enter the UK on small boats were generally from France, and that French police had stopped more than 90 migrants from risking their lives in the past 2 weeks. Well, if they are generally from France, then they don't have any claim to asylum, do they? There is no war in France. It doesn't matter what is happening in Iran or in Syria or in Turkey, that they have entered our country from France. That means that they are fake refugees. There is no war in France. They need to be sent straight back. They're taking advantage of the fact that all of us here in Britain are having to stay indoors in our homes. And instead of defending our country, this border force are just picking people up from the ocean and ferrying them onto our shores. You would think that they would have some kind of a pause on doing that while we were dealing with this corona crisis, but no. And it's not just happening in Britain either. We've got reports of it also happening in Spain. In the early morning of Sunday, Monday, a group of 160 immigrants tried to jump the fence at Melilla at the zone of Villa Pilar, according to the government delegation office. In spite of the efforts of the civil guard, armed forces and national police, 55 of them were able to enter. 38 were rejected and returned to Moroccan authorities, and the rest remained on the other side. So if Spain can send them back to the country that they actually came from, why can't we send them back? Yeah, unfortunately, some of them were actually able to make it into Spain. The delegation stated that it was a massive and violent crossing. Besides that, some of the sub-Saharans were detained for damaging certain vehicles, which they encountered nearby presumably on purpose, and two civil guards were injured. These are not friendly people. They are just attacking property just because the property is there. They're trying to break into somebody else's country. There is no war in Morocco that they are trying to escape from. They're just looking for gibsmedats. The group that was able to reach Spanish soil headed for the migrant reception centre of Melilla to be received. I mean, what are they doing putting a migrant reception centre on the opposite side of the border so that these illegal aliens have a goal to aim for? I mean, once they can get there, then they know that they're going to be given whatever it is that they demand. It's just like a magnet to them to have this centre that's just there on the other side of the fence. Due to security measures for the coronavirus, they remained waiting at the port, and 20 of them were treated by the Red Cross, mostly for injuries and stitches. Four of them were taken to the hospital for bone fractures and one head wound. They were also given blankets, water, and a bite to eat. And you can just tell from these injuries that it's like a battle, isn't it? It's like one of these battles that we had with invading forces in the past that would be extremely bloody and violent. And it's the same thing that's happening now on our borders. And the mainstream media will portray these people as poor innocents, children, women, and they're not. They're fighting age men. In actual fact, the Syrian women, I did see a short report on Syrian women this morning, and they are actually demanding that the EU kick out all the Syrian males because they need them back in Syria to rebuild their country. They started a civil war over there, which then got taken over by jihadists and fled to Europe, leaving all their women and children there, and they now want them to come back and rebuild the place. Will the European Union do that? The European Union has been trying to integrate them into Germany. The European Union has been trying to portion them out among the European Union countries and teach them to speak European languages and has given them houses here. There's a fat chance of sending them back. And also, while we've been distracted by the coronavirus, we've still got problems with them trying to invade Greece. The Hellenic Armed Forces, Coast Guard and police are on high alert after government officials received intelligence that Turkish regime leader Recep Tayyip Erdogan is planning a Sea Evros as thousands of migrants gather in towns and cities along Turkey's Aegean coastline. According to a report from Greek newspaper Katemerini, which cites sources that cannot be named but which are considered reliable, the Erdogan regime is planning to push virus-infected migrants to Greece and other EU member states. So he's not just trying to invade Europe with this proxy army where he's basically using these fake refugees to flood Europe and breed and take the place over just simply by numbers. He's now trying to push the ones that are infected with coronavirus into Europe so his health service doesn't have to deal with them. The same sources also say that thousands of migrants, many of whom were present at last month's border crisis at Castaneas and Pazakuli, have been moved from migrant camps in the interior of Turkey to the country's coastal regions. Turkish authorities are said to be overseeing the migrants' movement towards the coastline. And of course, we'll remember that a month or so back, Erdogan was actually laying on buses to take these invaders from one end of Turkey to the Greek border. And they were also actually opening up the prisons and telling prisoners that their sentence had been reduced and that the borders were open and that they would be free to go so long as they would actually leave Turkey and go to Europe. And the freeing of the prisoners and using them as proxy soldiers is the same thing that we saw happen in Libya. We've seen it happen in Syria. Saudi Arabia were actually opening up the prisons and sending hardened prisoners to go and fight in Syria, telling them that if they went on jihad, they would have their sentence lifted. You got the same thing happening here in Turkey. Only we're being told that these people are refugees rather than what they actually are, which is proxy soldiers for Erdogan. The fact that the Hellenic Coast Guard has blocked 21 ships full of illegal immigrants in the past 2 weeks near the area of Lesbos and Agadir-Tinizi supports the information put forward by Katamarini's sources. Furthermore, the accumulation of migrants along the Turkish coastline also seems to confirm that Erdogan is preparing to swamp Greece's eastern Aegean islands with migrants. And thankfully, the Greek Coast Guard is blocking these ships and sending them back. They're not taking them in. And the people that they have taken in, the ungrateful savages in Lesbos, have cut down all the olive trees. All the olive trees that take decades to grow before you can actually get the fruit from them, that actually form a large part of the economy in Lesbos, these ungrateful savages have cut all the trees down in as a way of saying thank you to the Greeks for actually providing them with shelter and providing them with food and not sending them back to where they came from. Authorities in Greece have also collected information which suggests various NGOs are also helping migrants in Turkey to make their way illegally to Greece. And of course, they were coming from one of these hotspots. They're mainly coming from Iran, or they're crossing through Iran, as we saw with the ones that are turning up in Britain. Elsewhere in the world, we see that they deal with this in a completely different way, particularly China. There are a lot of reports coming out of China at the moment of Africans being rounded up by the Chinese authorities and then being locked in hotels and put into a forced quarantine. This is going on in Guangzhou province in particular, that you can see the videos, you can see the Chinese police walking along with big sticks looking menacing, and all these black Africans walking along in front of them. There was a report from Kenyan CNN, which was showing you all these black Africans basically just being black Africans. I was quite amazed to see it. We've seen lots of pictures of them in Paris where they're all just sleeping on the streets, one on top of another. Well, they're actually doing exactly the same in China. I mean, this just seems to be something that Africans do. And they were being rounded up from these camps, these makeshift camps that they had put on the street, and they were being taken to these hotels so that they could be forced into this quarantine. And the reason for this is that there are these cases of coronavirus that are among the Africans, and this is the way that other countries deal with this. In Vietnam, when the coronavirus cases were first happening in China, what the Vietnamese did is they rounded up all the Chinese workers. They went to all the places where the Chinese migrant workers were, and they said, "You've got to come with us." And they took them all, and they put them all in quarantine. And Vietnam doesn't have a problem with coronavirus. And this is the way that you deal with this. The World Health Organization has said that we are not supposed to be identifying the ethnicity of the people that are spreading this. But if you want to nip it in the bud, that is exactly what you need to do. Because when you've got migrant communities, these migrant communities all hang out together. So if you've got a problem with coronavirus amongst, say, Muslims in India, then what you want to do is you want to round up the Muslims, which is exactly what has happened in India. It's the same thing here. If you've got a problem with the African community have got coronavirus, then you need to go and lock up the African community in quarantine. And this is the way they deal with it in these countries that haven't been brainwashed into thinking that seeing race as a biological reality is somehow wrong. I mean, we're taught here in the West that it's a social construct. Is it a social? If it's a social construct, then why is the virus particularly going for individual social constructs? Why is it going for Africans in China? Why is it going for Muslims in India? Why is it going for black and minority ethnics in Britain and black and minority ethnics in America? And you would think that it was just common sense to identify the people that had it and then quarantine them. But it's the same as identifying the people that are responsible for carrying out the majority of crime. We can't do that because, of course, that's racist if we identify the fact that blacks are responsible for at least twice as much violent crime as anybody else. And it's four times as much in some statistics. And they should be, the resources should be targeted at them to get them to either change their behavior or send them back. And I think the result of this coronavirus and the result of the ethnic disparities in it are going to force people to accept that race is not a social construct. It is a biological reality. And it's going to force people to realize that people do have different behaviors that are putting them more at risk of catching this virus. And a large part of it could be that the immigrants don't understand English and they haven't understood all the instructions that they need to be quarantined. They haven't quite understood the gravity of the problems with this virus. But once again, why should it be up to us to provide translations in 14 or 15 different languages? It just shows that this whole idea of multiculturalism and globalism and diversity, it's anti-nature, and it just causes chaos. It just causes a catastrophe for whatever country it's introduced into. Anyway, I talk a little bit more about the ethnic disparities with coronavirus with Max Musson in Air in Britannia, which you will be able to listen to later on today. Thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.